Hello, and welcome to another edition of We Own This Town Music, a podcast dedicated to showcasing new and notable music from Nashville and surrounding areas. I'm your host, Michael Eads, and this is volume 127. For this episode, we're going to eschew the typical format of picking a few notable local songs and talking about them. This episode, I sit down with Catherine Edwards and Olivia Scibelli to talk about the reopening of their DIY-centric, all-ages-aware, community-driven venue, Dark Matter. That's Dark Matter without vowels, for anyone that's not paying attention. We discuss the history of the venue and its many incarnations, including the latest and greatest version that is operating in a soft open fashion over at 1111 Dickerson Pike, the hardships of gentrification, the drive to make sure bands get paid, and lots of other fascinating topics. I'm extremely thankful to Catherine and Olivia for coming by, and even more thankful that they've been fighting the good fight for this long now and don't seem to be slowing down in the slightest. It was a really great chat, and I'm grateful for them for sharing their story thus far. I'm sure there's plenty more where that came from. So let's get into it. Sit back and enjoy the conversation. Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, so I'm going to mess up your last name right away. Scibelli.
You got it.
Olivia Scibelli. I have it written down, and I've said it on the show before and always done a very bad job. Catherine Edwards.
Yeah.
Nailed that one. Here from Dark Matter.
Yes.
A new venue, new-ish venue, just opened but has a very long history.
Yeah.
Which is why I've brought you in, because there's a very interesting story to tell here. So I guess that's kind of where I want to start is like, how did this form? Like, go way back. What's the first iteration of this?
Oh, wow.
You go.
Yeah, I guess.
It all starts with her. Starts with
all
Kat.
Right. Starts with Kat.
Yeah, really far back. Let's see. I guess it started in the brain a long time ago when I lived at a house venue called The Other Basement. And my roommate there was booking shows. He got tired of it. And he was like, do you want to take this over? And I was like, yeah. And so I just started doing that there for some years, a few years.
House shows.
Yeah. And
did you ever go to The Other Basement?
I saw listings for it, but I have, we'll just get this on the table right now.
Yeah.
I'm 39 years old. Going to house shows, I feel weird.
Yeah. Okay. We're 30 and we're 30. Like the oldest people usually.
One of my questions today was like, I've turned 40 next month. Is it going to be weird if I go to Dark Matter?
No.
Am I going to be the weird old guy in
the
room?
Not the new one.
No, not at all.
And we'll get to that later.
Yeah.
Like, finish. The Other Basement was so dope, though, and that's where we met.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Booking, plan. And let's see what happened after that. We got kicked out of that house.
So the landlord's just like, nope, can't do this anymore?
Surprisingly, no. It wasn't really the landlord. The landlord found out, I guess, that his son was skimming money off the top of our rent. There was an old man and his son was like property managing. So he would just come and like we would just give him cash and he would go away. And apparently he was not putting all of that where he should have. So his dad decided to give our like property management to a company. And that company came and looked at our house and was like, you will not be able to renew your lease. And I had been there for 3 years, and everyone else, well, one other person had been there for like four. So
it's a long running.
Yeah, it's really long.
And that was a good basement.
Yeah, it was pretty big.
It was an actual basement. Having not been there, I don't know.
And they had like you can enter from the back. And it was like kind of its own venue. It was ideal. Yeah, it was really like a little.
It was its own little thing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
But then
we got kicked out. And then I was just booking shows around town and decided there should be something. So I found a house on 3rd Avenue, very close to here. And rented it just to have shows in it. And that landlord was also pretty awful. He was just, he was not too big on caring about the legality of things.
Anything.
So we were there for a minute, but that was really fun. That first iteration was very fun.
It was magical in the way that, like, when you're a young punk and you're just like, I'm going to this show, like, you roll up to this house that looks like it's, like, going
to
fall down.
About to cave in, yeah.
And it was so small. I mean, the main room was the size of, like,
this.
It was so small.
Like, it was very, like, crazily small.
There have been many a banger.
Yeah.
So that was the whole house was the venue?
Yes.
And is that where it takes on the Dark Matter?
Dark Matter is, yes. Dark Matter is then. That is when Dark Matter
That's the very
started.
First iteration.
Yes.
It's an actual house on 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
And are you booking similar bands to the other basement, or is there like a shift in your mentality there?
Yeah, there was definitely that still coming in, because I guess at that point I was, who was even doing that?
It was you and Josh.
It was Josh Gillis.
Glad Fact, aka
Mac Joseph. Yeah. Oh, Rory
and Chappie
McMurdo and Chappie Hull would also book shows there. So it was a lot of same people who, or like Tyler also, like a lot of same people who book shows at the other basement. Also, like, oh, we're gonna continue booking shows where Catherine is, I guess.
Cool. But it wasn't very formal.
No, not at all. Not even close. And it was great though, because that building was really cheap, just because of how terrible it was.
There were like holes in the floor.
Like, whoa. It was bad. Like, this house was bad. And like,
but it was great.
It was great.
Sure. Yeah.
It was great. My heart.
I went to many crappy parties in Murfreesboro when I went to college. There.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, so. But they were phenomenal.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And then we left that building. Our lease was up, so we were there for a year. And that's when I got with Olivia. Yes, and then we did the second incarnation.
Well, I remember. May I?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, this is where Olivia comes in.
So I get a text, or maybe it was like a Facebook group invitation from you or Mac or both or something that was like kind of a call to arms in a way, I felt. And we all met. There were about 19, give or take, of us that all met our friend Chappie's living room that first night, which was like the only time we all got together.
Yeah.
And Catherine basically was like, I want to keep doing this, but I can't do this alone. And who wants to help? And we sort of talked about how unsustainable, which is like a big theme in DIY.
Yeah.
But how unsustainable it is to just have one person footing the bill, and or, you know, just trying to make money off the door of a house, like a venue like
that. So is that the only money-making aspect to it? Like, I know you probably don't have like a beer or liquor license in the original incarnations, but like, would you take money from drinks as well? Like, was there a quote-unquote bar scenario?
No, there was, it was always BYOB.
Yeah. And
did you take a percentage at the 20? First one?
Like 20%.
28%, yeah.
Yeah. But shows were so cheap then that it didn't really matter. It was like, if the show's $5, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
But so the next incarnation when we all met, Catherine said, I found this place. She'd been looking for a long time.
Right.
And this is another theme of this, is like looking and searching for the right thing for a long time. So she found this barbershop on 40th in Indiana and said, we could do this. It was $1,000 a month, and who wants to be in on it? And everyone at the time was like, me, let's do it. And at the end of the meeting, I remember leaving and like kind of going up to Catherine sheepishly after like seeing her book all these amazing shows and like kind of being like close in proximity but not like close friends yet. And I remember being like, if you need someone to like co-sign the lease with you, I'll do that.
Nice.
And she was like, okay, cool. And so we did. And that was how that started.
Yeah, so that's the seed of the second generation of it then, I guess.
Yeah.
The next version.
Yeah.
Cool.
So we got the barbershop and we sold the barber chairs, and we
took out the sinks,
and Noel Richards, who is our handyman, everything to us, really. I mean, I have to shout out Noel, because every time we hear like, so we got this space, and he's like, okay.
We need furniture.
We need you to build these things. He's like, okay. And then he does for nothing, pretty much. And we're all doing this, you know, for the love of the game, basically. But the barbershop.
Yes. I mean, what part about it?
Oh, so many things about that.
Yeah, so we
did
started...
you ever go there?
Never went there either. So I have yet to go. We'll get to like these shows that you have booked in the new space. I'm like, okay, I gotta do better.
Yeah.
I gotta attend this thing. So.
That was great. Wild and crazy time. So we were open. We were having shows, as you do. We were going systems as normal for about like 6-7 months at that point.
And we were operating collectively. Which is why the Dark Matter Collective, we were all like at first 19 about people paying rent collectively.
Yeah.
Which, you know.
ebbs and flows.
Yeah, right.
Oh, it ebbed.
A lot less flowing than we had hoped. And the shows, they were great. And what ended up being the first catch in that system was, like I said, like really close to when we opened, was the Ghost Ship fire happened in Oakland. And during a Nobody show, the police came and shut the show down.
December 6th.
Yeah. I was like,
wow,
of 2017?
Yes.
So that's like, is that
2016?
16, yeah. Yeah, it's like time.
Yeah. During a show, the fire marshal, I was actually flying back from a trip in Colorado.
And I was on the way from work. And so people had already like started up the show.
And it was a big show.
It was a huge show. And I'm driving there and people are just like, actually don't come here right now because.
Well, it was Josh's show.
Yeah.
And the fire marshal rolled up and gave him a ticket.
A ticket, yeah.
And was like, you can't have shows here anymore and you can't operate without a permit. And, you know, it was nerve-wracking, of course.
Yeah.
And then we all just sort of met up like the next day and we're just like, what are we going to do?
Yeah, if we can't.
So everything's on pause at that point.
Yeah.
Because you knew they would just cite you again if you did another show.
Did we end up, did we? I don't even know.
We didn't do any shows then. Yeah. No, because Josh was nervous too. Because, you know, at the time it was like he had a court date because of it, which actually turned out to be completely bunk, which is weird.
Which is weird. They wrote a ticket, but then they like
never filed it.
File any paperwork on it.
Oh. Well, that's nice.
Yeah. It was a thing. But then, you know, we just sort of were meeting. We're like, how are we going to move forward? And we were like, well, obviously, we just need to get up to code. I mean, we can't let this stop us.
So, and for people listening that may not be familiar with the Ghost Ship incident that happened in Oakland, there's like a DIY venue space. It's like a really good
big warehouse.
It's a huge warehouse filled with like all kinds of art and just handmade sort of lofting space and all sorts of stuff.
People living there.
And also a venue, right?
Yes.
Multiple venue studios, I think. Yeah.
Like, and it catches on fire. And it's not really like, it's just sort of a neglectful thing, right? Like the owner didn't mean for this to happen. There wasn't arson involved. It was just like not up to code.
Yeah.
And so this horrible thing happens. And then across the nation, there's kind of this crackdown on these sorts of DIY venues. Yeah.
It was like a ripple effect for sure. Mm-hmm.
It was really fast. It was really fast.
It was very, very fast. Like, because I was always thinking like, oh, we're totally under the radar. Like, who is noticing?
Totally under the radar?
When I say under the radar, I mean like, who in these sorts of positions that are cracking down on these sorts of things?
What sorts of narc is going to know about this show, Joe?
yeah, exactly. Like, that was the mentality. But I was like, apparently this is just common knowledge. Enough for the fire marshal, I guess, to just kind of scoot by.
But it's so problematic, obviously, to imagine that that's the reaction for, like, something, a tragedy like that.
Right.
Is not, okay, well, let's unpack this. What's the problem here? You know, it's affordable spaces for people who are doing non-commerce-based art and community activity.
Right.
And in a place like Oakland, it's glaring. But to be honest, Nashville, and Catherine and I experienced this after when we were looking for the new space, Nashville is not any better. In fact, worse. I mean, Nashville is a small city and there are not a lot of spaces and there are a lot of people really hungry to open up whatever they think is going to be the next big thing. And I have to say, it's a lot of people who are groups of older white men who are wanting to build things like cocktail lounges and 4-star Michelin restaurants and things like that that don't speak to our community.
Right.
And so trying to carve a space is really, really hard. That's why we rent a place like on 3rd Avenue, because no one wants it.
Right.
Yeah, no one
and
wants it.
It's cheap enough for us to be able to do our thing in a, you know, non-commerce based kind of art experience. And that's like the problem with the Ghost Ship. But instead, they decided, okay, well, we're just going to show all these scared Fox News parents how we're going to take care of this, which is cracking down on the evil, you know, artists and musicians and like art makers. It's just like, really? Like, that's why?
Yeah, just the mentality around that is sort of like, these people aren't contributing. Like, these artists over here, they're just lazy artists doing their thing, which is, like, wildly inaccurate, to say the least.
Because why are people moving to East Nashville? Right. You know, like, why are people flocking to Five Points? Oh, this is cute. Oh, look at all these art installations. Yeah. Like, look at all these cute little shops.
Well, I mean, the neighborhood we're in now, Wedgwood, Houston, is like, I mean, it's exemplary of what you're talking about. It is a very arts community.
You can see construction from behind us.
We're literally next door to the Julia Martin Gallery. The art crawl happens every month in this area. But also, they tore down Fort Houston and put up a parking lot.
Someone should write a song about that.
I haven't driven down there, so I didn't notice that it was gone.
Oh, no, the original Fort Houston, that's like right out that window. That was where the original one is.
It's disoriented.
Yeah, I was like,
so the new one is doing great.
Yeah. That's where
everyone, Houston, still open, still great.
I work over there.
Yeah, and, you know, there went in the Falcon and the Flamingo, which is like this old church that was renovated. Yeah. And it's, I don't think that it fits that mold of what you're talking about of like older white man opening a place, because the people who put that together are outside of that, and it's a wonderful venue, but it does have a vibe that's very different than what this neighborhood sort of seems to put out visually.
Well,
you know, like an old packing plant, you know.
And the reason why, and I've kind of delved into that in my own personal like soul searching, and with me and Kat just kind of looking for space again, this is all stemming from lots of thinking about this, but like, so the people that own, let's say like the Falcon or whatever, are like it's like younger women, I think.
Yeah, it's women.
A group of people, of course, I think, but that's how it has to be now, is a group of people. It can't just be two people with a dream. It has to be, let's find investors.
Totally.
So ultimately, if you crawl up the tree, what are you going to find? Who knows?
There's going to be some old white men up there.
There's going to be some old white men up there, especially in the South. But but then they have to think to themselves, okay, well, how are we going to make money? And it's like, you have to cater to a certain demographic. You have to have a certain vibe. You have to do things. You have to sell alcohol. These are the things that, because rents are so high, because property is so valuable now. It's just this big, weird, kind of problematic experience that people are having, and it's keeping things like Dark Matter from thriving, but
so you get shut down.
We prevail.
So you get shut down from the permits.
We do.
Take a pause to get up to code.
Also, I guess that's the two times to say thanks to the community. We had GoFundMes to open the first iteration of Dark Matter, which was great, and we did some like reno in there.
Dude, we put up that GoFundMe and overnight.
Yeah, it was
they were like,
good to go.
We got it.
And so we got all that fixed up. They came by. They gave us our permit. And then we could now completely legally. And a lot of people were actually surprised about that. Like, bands that came later were just like, what is this? It's like, oh, yeah, we have a permit to have shows here.
Fire marshal came.
Yeah, they looked at everything and said, did it.
After we bothered them for like 4 months. And they were like, fine, just please go.
Yeah, please.
I went down there every day on my days off. And they were just like, you again?
Yeah.
It was awesome.
It shouldn't be that hard,
but I became friends. They're nice people. They're just overworked.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I get it. There's a lot of stuff going on. But anyway, so we get back open and then we realize, okay, this is still unsustainable.
Yeah,
because
it's like, okay, we're open, but how are we going to keep paying for like the collective portion is kind of dissolving, and the clothes being closed for the period of time that we were did not help. But then, you know,
and it was a smaller place too, I have to say, so it wasn't as usable.
Exactly. So it was pretty much, you could only really have shows there. Like, you could do some other things, like maybe like you could have meetings there, like, but that was like pretty much the extent of the things that you could do there.
Nothing to make money, really.
And so we were still on our lease, but then we were just talking to the owner of our building, and they decided that they were going to sell it. So they did.
Oh. And now there's a theater company in there.
Yeah, there's a black box theater in there now.
Well, that's kind of nice, right?
Yeah.
I mean, at least it didn't become something.
Or get torn down, I suppose. Yeah. Like, they left the building as is on the outside. And that's the thing that a lot of people keep not getting, I guess. They wonder why it is, like, well, why would they put the all ages venue in, like, you know, on 3rd or on 40th in Indiana? It's like, well, that is literally the only place left in the city where anything is even like mildly affordable for people trying to do the things that we are trying to do. Like, we're not trying to, you know, make bank, you know, secure the bag on DIY, because that's not that's not even feasible.
It's not a thing.
So we end up, you know, having to be in, you know, more compromised neighborhoods, or neighborhoods that are like on the brink of being, you know, torn, the whole thing being torn down and gentrified. And, you know, we have to come to terms with, like, do we assist in this? Are we assisting in the gentrification? Or, you know, because we're just doing what we can with no, like, outside assistance, really, you know?
Yeah.
I think the gentrification question is interesting, because if an artist moves into a space like this building, for example, is this gentrifying a neighborhood? To me, I'd say no, because you're not, like, directly making money off of, like, the people that are in the neighborhood necessarily. You're just sort of contributing something, presenting something, maybe. I don't know. Maybe it's more so, like, with what we were doing is just sort of, we weren't trying to, like, we weren't, like, barista parlor opening up, like, next to a crack house. I'm sorry.
You weren't pushing anyone out, right?
No, not necessarily. Yeah. I mean, it was empty for a long time. And we definitely made friends and made connections with a lot of the people that lived in that neighborhood. It was just really hard because just tensions were high over there, because you had, like, Charlotte kind of slowly moving in, and it's coming.
It's like right down the street, you have, like, Farm Burger and, like, a brand new condos. And I mean, that's, like, literally, like, a stone's throw down the street. And then you see, like, other buildings, like, as you're coming approaching on 40th, are, like, for sale.
But no grocery store for, like, the communities in that area. You know, it's just like, I don't know. Anyway.
Well, actually, no, they're getting a turnip truck where the cash and carry currently is. They're, like, I think they're closed now, but all through December they were having, like, a blowout sale.
Shoot, I should have gone there.
And the turnip truck is now going to be on Charlotte. So it's closer than they think.
Yeah, but a cash and carry being transposed into a turnip truck
says a lot.
Very different audience there.
I know. So we're not here to debate about gentrification, although obviously we could go on about it forever.
We can all agree. It's pretty bad.
It's pretty tough. It's hard. It is really hard. But so then we close Dark Matter 2.0.
That's like February 2018?
Yes, February 2018. And
which is less than a year ago. Mm-hmm. Like, we're here to talk about the new one. But, I mean, it's been less than a year until we're now in this new space.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's incredible.
Well, what's really incredible is the next thing that happens.
Yeah.
Catherine.
Yeah.
We get a message from a woman named April Kendall, who's like, hey, me and my husband, like, really want to talk to you guys. We see this DIY thing that you're doing. What do you guys want to continue that? Like, what can we do to help? And so we get her husband's number, Donnie, and we meet up with him, and we find out who they are, which is they helped run the Lucy's record shop space.
Oh, nice.
In the way past.
In the way past?
Yeah.
Before I was here. Not people, on Earth, but before I was in Nashville.
For people that don't know, Lucy's record shop was a really amazing venue / record store that was on Charlotte Avenue, where you see, like, Play and, like, those strip of bars and entertainment now. It became IndieNet, that I believe Aaron Hartley was in charge of for a while. And then it shut down. And then that block sort of became what it is now, which is great. But Lucy's was, like, the thing.
Yeah, exactly.
For a really long time.
There was nothing else there,
We met with April, like, once, and she brought some flyers or showed us some pictures of some flyers, and we were just looking at the calendar like, oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And
but I remember being skeptical because we've just had so many false starts. So we're just like, fine, let's just go meet with these people. Like, who knows who they are? And then we met, Donnie. Then he told us that about Lucy's.
Yes.
And they wanted to help us.
Yeah.
For some weird reason.
Yeah. Well, they said that they had seen how we, you know, triumphed over adversity and also we were the only DIY space to reopen.
Yeah. Out of everybody
that got, like, closed down. We were the only ones who would be able to get up to codes.
He was impressed by the stick-tuitiveness.
Yeah. And was just like, what can we do? And so that is when we started our very fun search process of looking for a building.
Yeah.
And that had to have been the most frustrating because so many things, it's, once again, if it's affordable, it's way out somewhere.
Yeah, like Donaldson or
Somewhere that we at that point had decided we no longer, like, we just didn't want to have be in a neighborhood anymore that, one, we would have to really think about the fact of whether or not we were gentrifying. Like, it's, like, nice to not have to even have that on your plate. And two, a place where even our youngest patrons and their parents would feel comfortable with them going. So we were looking at very specific places. We were looking, like, over here, Buchanan. We were looking...
And Dickerson was, like, always
Dickerson
my...
was always, like, in our heads.
I was like, I want to be there. One day
we've never been to the East Side.
Yeah, that's true. We hadn't. But at first we looked for places to rent and we realized things were just so expensive to rent and didn't fit our needs.
Yeah.
Like $2,500 a month was our max goal. And we just kept finding places that were old barbershops and old hair salons and really small broken up places and nothing that would actually work for us. And then eventually I think that Donnie and his partners, which include Mary and Kurt, we can't have this conversation without thanking them
Well.
And David and April and Donnie, they all got together. We met with them and they were like, okay, well, we want to help you. So they decided to invest in us in a building.
Cool.
To be able to, so we could sustain, because that was the biggest problem. And something I always said was, I don't want to do this again. I don't want to
pick up and move again.
Yeah, you don't want to get kicked out.
Rent a space and make it up to codes and make the bathroom ADA compliant and get the fire extinguishers and get the fire marshal to check in. And it's expensive and it's a lot of work. And if we're going to do this, I want to be there for a while. And so we were just sort of looking, and Donnie got that when we were looking. And so we found, through a lot of searching and a lot of, like, what I decided to coin the phrase, maybe I didn't, but we were pretty womaned a lot.
Yeah. You mean, like, with the snap case?
No, with the, like, you can't shop here.
Oh, okay.
Like, we were just like.
That's true. We did have a lot of that.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
We would show up.
Look at us. We are just, like, little ragtag, like, 30-year-old women, but we're, like, wearing our punk outfits, and we're just like. And so,
but money's money.
Yeah, I mean,
they just looked at us and assumed that we didn't have any.
Yeah, exactly. And it's exactly what happened to Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman. It's like she had the money to spend. Was it hers? No, but that's not the point.
It's not the point.
Yeah, it's not the point.
But not to say that, you know, I don't mean that. You know what I'm saying? We met with many, many people and they blew us off. They were like, your budget is what? You want to do what? Oh, yeah. Well, we have like 100 people who want to spend $30 million they want to buy a block in East Nashville and you are small potatoes and they just, we got ghosted on so many times. We looked at another place on Dickerson where they were just like, you can't do that here.
Oh, yeah. They were like, no, you can't.
Yeah, they just
said, no renovations of the building.
I mean, we got so close to signing a lease, and then they were like, no, we don't want you to take down our crappy soundproofing. We're like, okay.
Okay.
Did you buy a building? Did they get to dictate
that? Well, that was just for rent. Because we had gotten to a place where
that was the last time,
like,
I think, that we were actually legitimately trying to rent something.
But we were also trying to buy, too, and we just couldn't find anything that was, like, under $1 million in Nashville, commercial real estate.
Yeah.
A couple friends I know in Philly bought a building for, like, $425,000.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like, you can't find that here.
Yeah.
You can't find that here.
I know.
It's ridiculous. I'm screaming about it because I'm just like, why? And shout out to our realtors, to Mindy and Adam, because they stuck through with us. Mindy and her partner Adam they sell homes. They had never really done commercial, but they were like, well, we'll help you look.
Nice.
And they really navigated it. I don't know if you know Mindy Watts.
No.
She's like an amazing badass engineer. She worked at Third Man, like opened Third Man and everything. And she decided to do real estate because she wanted to make engineering fun again, which makes sense to me. But like, we couldn't have done this without them. And we looked at so many places with them, and we looked at places up and down Dickerson, everything that were empty inside, like
nothing.
No HVAC,
no lights,
no plumbing. And it was like $600,000. Yeah. Like, well, here's something in your budget. We're like, right, okay.
Yeah. Maybe not. I guess, you know.
Anyway, long story short, we found Music City Lounge.
Yes.
For sale. One day, she and I, though, Kat and I, did walk up and down Dickerson from the very beginning of it to about East Trinity Lane. Not walked, but we drove and walked part and just looked in windows and looked around and just saw what we could find. Yeah. Maybe somebody was selling, maybe somebody was looking. And we did look at Music City Lounge. We're like, what's this place?
And then they were open. Were they open? I think they were just open.
And we're like, okay. Like, give us this building. This is a good one.
Yeah.
And little did we know.
It came back.
Came back around, and they relisted it multiple times until it was finally in our price range. And Donnie was like, came to look at it with us, and he was like, are you guys, is this it? And we were like, this is it. I mean, two bathrooms, commercial kitchen, plenty of room, lots of potential, and it was...
How much work did it need when you were looking at it at that point?
I mean, not as much as other places, but definitely needed some love.
I mean, I've been following
love.
You on Instagram. Aww. I know a lot of work's been going into it.
Well, it was like, you walked inside before. It was a hookah lounge nightclub bar, and they had food in the back, and it was just like, you know, the walls were black, and they had like black light murals, and it was just a giant bar, giant granite countertops, and the kitchen, I have to just say, was horrible. Oh my God. It was like Kitchen Nightmares level over. Like, if Gordon Ramsay walked in there, he would have just walked out. But we didn't, and that's the difference between DIY and...
Gordon Ramsay. Yeah. If you were ever curious.
Where the Venn diagram is.
Yeah. Gordon Ramsay.
It's a very tiny overlap, and it's you two.
And then blah, 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 lots of paperwork, lots of back and forth. We closed on the building on November 1st, pretty much, right?
Yeah, more or less.
And she was on tour. Catherine was on tour. Yeah. It was heartbreaking. I was like, why aren't you here with me?
I'm so sorry.
So we photoshopped her in the photo.
Yeah, I did that like on the way to a show.
It was fun. But yeah, so we did a lot. We like, and our construction crew consists of, and our team now consists of a few core people. Well, this is probably a good time to say that we went from the collective model at the barbershop, and then Catherine and I, because we were on the lease together before, developed a really close relationship and working relationship. We work really well together, and we both have a lot of similar goals, dreams, and ideals. And I think that's something that really has kept us together. And so we were like, okay, going into this, we probably can't be a collective anymore because we're not, the model of everyone paying together was broken.
Right.
So we needed a way to make money. So we were like, you need multiple income streams in a situation like this to be able to make it all happen.
Right.
You know, I mean, and this is a real business now. This is, we are an LLC and we are, you know, business partners and we are investors in this thing together, you know, and this is like the next step. And so we're, you know, having a kitchen and we're going to serve food and we need ways to make money so we can make this live.
Right. Sustainable.
Sustainable. Yeah. Right. Sustainability is the key and the name of the game in this whole entire thing. And so, but we have, not to say that we don't have our community and our group of friends who are just as invested as we are, but it does make things structurally different, you know?
Yeah, I mean, from the outside looking in, I didn't know any of that story. It feels like maybe, I don't know if the name changes, if it goes from Dark Matter Collective to just Dark Matter now. But it just feels like, it doesn't feel like any of the ideas have changed.
No.
Exactly.
And I really want to get into that. Like, let's get to the venue opening. Like, you're doing these renovations.
Yeah.
Very recently opened. A week ago, right?
Yeah.
Soft open.
Soft. Oh, soft, it's still open. Soft?
Yes, this is still soft.
What's...
Because we are still
preparing. We're still preparing the kitchen. We still have to get some things for there. So we haven't had food yet.
So it's we have a grand opening to look forward to.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have a grand opening. Yeah. But
amazing. Because I've been watching the calendar and it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And that's all Kat. I mean, like, the structurally, how we're kind of doing it is like, it's Catherine's room. It's Catherine's room.
It's Catherine's room. Chappie helps too.
And Chappie, for sure, for sure. But you guys are the ones that are driving the ship, and that's always been your thing.
My strong suit. Yeah. That's the, unbelievable. The thing
She's
that
got
I
great
like
taste.
Doing.
She's got great taste, everybody. But we have our friends, the Noel, who is our builder, and Ian also our builder and our everything man, Chappie, our friends Dave, Justice, Ethan, Gabby. Zach, Gabby, and Kat and me. And that's kind of the, and Diana.
Yeah,
Diana right. Zadlow is doing our kitchen.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
And she's making our menu and she's been like telling us how to do it. I mean, she's like, hey, you need this, this, this for your kitchen. So this is the crew that's been working since November 1st.
And Juliana.
And Juliana. Juliana Horner. She's done our interior design. Mm-hmm. She's incredible. She's a local artist. Claro Psyche on Instagram.
Yeah.
At. but, you know, so this is the crew. And so we've all been working tirelessly since November 1st until New Year's Eve, but still now. But New Year's Eve, we had our private.
Right.
New Year's party. That was our goal. So we tore out the bar. We painted. We put in this crazy floor. We built the bars and we, you know, put everything up and decorated and cleaned 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 the kitchen again.
Yeah.
And
threw out some stuff.
Yeah, threw out a ton of stuff. And like, yeah, because the people that when Music City Lounge closed, they left everything.
Sure.
Everything.
I mean,
down to a
you?
Block of cheese. They left everything.
Yeah, I was like, this cheese? Really?
But we did it. And so here we are. And New Year's Eve was amazing. And the vibe is great. And it's beautiful inside. And we're all really happy. And we're just kind of waiting for a few things to fall into place. And we have some new ideas and ideals for how to move forward and kind of change the game and change DIY a little bit and the, you know, classic rock club and where the two can meet. And
yeah, well, let's get into that.
Let's get into that.
We may have buried the lead here on this interview. We've got like a nice history of all the locations that you've been at, that you're doing this incredible job booking this variety of bands. But throughout all this is like, there seems to be like a real commitment to DIY, a lot of all ages, a lot of accessibility, a lot of diversity. Like, what is the thinking there? Like, is there a call to arms? Is there a manifesto kind of thing? I don't know. That's not that dramatic, maybe.
Oh, no, it is.
But, you know, I know that that is...
It's important.
I don't think that, no offense to anyone that works there, but I don't think Exit In has like a thing written out that's like, we strive to do X, Y, Z.
No,
like, they're looking to book shows and get people in the room.
And I like that venue. You know, it's like one of those things where it's like, I go to these places. I just think that there should be another option.
Right, and it's not a battle. I'm not trying to pit anything against anything else. I'm just saying you all are approaching this in a way that has a goal.
Like,
these are things that we want to achieve. What are those? What is DIY? What is your strive here? Like,
well,
where do you start on that?
I mean, I definitely have been on my soapbox a lot.
Yeah.
She goes,
like,
yes.
I was like, that is Olivia, she's going to pull out the scroll.
I really am, because there are so many things. I mean, like, geez, you know, with DIY that have been broken, so broken over the years, you know, like from... we call like the Fugazi method of DIY and of DIY ethics. Well, that was like the late 80s, right? When that was kind of budding.
Yeah.
It's 2019. Times have changed so much that there are a few things that we've decided are dated and we're throwing out the window in a lot of ways. And things that I personally think are a better way to change it up so that we are more accessible to kids and to families and to people who are turning 40 next month and to people who are 30 but don't have, like, aren't married with kids, you know? It's like, who are still in bands, who are still DIY touring, to people who, like, you know, who are bigger musicians, like the Bullies of the world or the Soccer Mommies of the world, who came up with us and, you know, still want to be able to see why and how and where they came from.
Yeah.
And so a few things that we had to change, and one big thing was the price of a show.
Yeah.
Number one.
Because for the longest time, it was like three or five, like the
three
whole time
or five.
I was at the other basement up until like first Dark Matter. And then there was a community conversation about how much shows should cost, and that everything kind of went up to seven. Like, pretty much any, like, DIY thing went up to $7.
Especially in our friend group.
Yeah. Well, I think it was a Josh Gillis
thing. Which Josh has got really great ideas.
Yeah, that's true. I was like, the feedback came back. So we started doing seven. But then after thinking about it and getting to this Dark Matter, getting to this point and thinking about what is it that people normally have the complaint about with DIY music? And it's that even though people are driving from, you know, state to state across the country, they're not even able to, like, I don't know, buy some food or actually fill up their gas tank or, like, be able to pay for the things that they bought to sell or, like,
pay for tapes and
the
shirts.
The fact that they're not at work, you know, like, things like that. Like, no one's being able to provide for this. So we made a point of that our shows, all of them, will have a minimum price. Like, we have pre-sale tickets, so we're doing, like, online ticketing. So you'll be able to get your tickets either $8 in advance or $10 the day of show. And that's a minimum price. Some bands will be more. So within reason, though. Never anything that's going to be not financially sound.
I mean, it's not Bridgestone, so it's going to be, like, $200.
Yeah,
and then, like,
it's
a
like,
meet,
oh,
right?
It's $12.
Yeah, and I hear some, like, hesitation in your voice to be, like, you feel bad. It sounds like you feel bad
it's
for raising the price a little bit.
It's a strange thing because I'm like, no one, if you want, I feel like if you want to be entertained for multiple hours and not wanting to pay, like, $10 for it, I'm like, where would you have gone?
Right.
For your entertainment, except sit in your house and watch the Netflix you already paid $10
for. Yeah, that's $10 a month.
Yeah, right? I was like, that is literally the only thing you can do for $10 and, for 3 hours.
And really, when you actually run the numbers, $10 is still clearly such a deal and even still not enough for us to pay for our rent.
Right.
So we don't make money off of the door, really. Yeah. I mean, we take a percentage of the fee because we're paying our sound person, the door person, and, you know, all of that. But we want to be able to provide these bands. That's why we're here. Yeah. We want to provide these bands with a livable wage. And bands, like the other night, that band Ruiners, when Chappie gave them the door at the end of the night, the guy was like, wait, what? It was like over $100. So
it was,
what?
It was
a tank of gas. It was like $200 or something. Yeah. But a tank of gas is like 50 in a lot of ways. And so you're just like, well, here's this money that we made, and like this show did really well, so we can afford to give you this. And people are like, wait, what? They're used to getting $40. Or like my band will go on tour, and we played in like Philly, and like 30 people showed up and whatever, and the local bands took a cut, whatever. I'm salty about that still, but in a way, over that, and we get like $20 at the end of the night.
Right.
And I'm just like, why, as a promoter, as someone booking a show, do you feel comfortable like giving someone like $30 or something? Like, that's...
Right.
And I think at this point, it's like, it's not even that, it's not even like a profit. We're not greedy Scrooge McDucks over here. We're literally just trying to live in a capitalistic world and be able to take care
and
of ours.
And understand that we all do. And if you're going to take the time, once again, to drive to Nashville, load all of your heavy stuff out of your van, put it up on that stage, and play for 25 minutes, I feel like you should be compensated for that.
Yeah, right? Like, I think people, to put even a stronger point on that, like, touring is insanely expensive.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
If you're a 20-year-old kid or you're a 35-year-old kid or whatever, like if you're any range of ages, touring is insane.
Exactly.
Yeah. And like, it's hard and it's stressful.
And most of the people, I mean, there are a lot of artists that we work with that do have management and, you know, they're with a booking agency and things like that. So we do have shows of varying
levels.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, but for the most part, a lot of the bands that we do work with are ones that don't have any of that stuff. So, like, you know, this is your van that you all purchased with your money.
Yeah.
You know, it's like one of those things. It's just like, they're doing it themselves. I think that's the theme right now.
And I'm happy to be one of those places on tour where, like, they made good money and then they'll get $40 in Little Rock tomorrow night, but they'll have made $200 in Nashville tonight.
Right.
And that'll help them pad there.
Right, and that makes Dark Matter become, but word of mouth will spread.
Oh, it
I'm sure it already has, that like, oh yeah, play Nashville, play Dark Matter, because they're very good. They have the empathy to understand how difficult this is and to pay the artists that are playing while still being sustainable to keep their doors open.
Yeah.
And that will actually just make the entire scene better.
Exactly.
Oh my God, absolutely, exactly. I'm going to cry thinking about it.
Just... so many people have, like, said, I guess they're just like, huh, wonder why these things are the way they are. It's like, you just kind of just put that all succinctly into, like, a nice little package.
That's so good. And, yeah, because our goals, taking out my scroll once more, are to make a scene not only survive, but thrive.
Right. Mm-hmm.
When I first moved to Nashville in 2008, oh, my God, Little Hamilton was... the
right
thing.
Right around the corner
right
from
around
here.
Right around the corner from yeah. here. And it changed my life. And it was an amazing group of people. So many awesome bands. So many cool people. And that's why I moved to Nashville. Because I was like, there's something happening here. And that's the heart of it all. There's
and
a
you're
lot.
From the epicenter of cool things.
I'm from upstate New York, so not quite. There's a lot of like white dreads and fish fans.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh my God. Well, Bonnaroo would say. But
something Bonnaroo would say.
So can you talk about the all ages aspect of
yeah,
it and the family aspect of it?
Well, and back to the thriving thing, what I was just saying
yeah,
was
yeah,
like
sorry.
We want it to no, but like that's why. It's like we want to survive and thrive, and thriving a big part of it thriving is bringing the kids in.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I also volunteer at the Girls Rock Camp,
right.
which is a big part, and Catherine's volunteered too yeah. her time in many ways. And we see these kids and we have these goals for them, and this is just a small view of that, but like we want them to be in bands and we want them to do these things, and they do and they want to, but then we like shove them out after our showcase and we're like, great job kids, good
right.
job playing guitar this summer, and then they have nowhere to play.
Yeah.
Right.
And so we really want, and we're going to partner with yeah in a lot of ways, the Youth Empowerment through Arts and Humanities, so that we can kind of get those kids into Dark Matter, mm-hmm. so that they can have a place that's safer and clean and nice and has, you know, a good system and a good group of adults there wanting them to succeed. And
yeah.
we want them to start bands, and we want them to tour. We want them to...
Right. You know, people think of, like, the artsy, the people, like, all the stuff that made people want to move to Nashville. It's like, all those people started doing this when they were, like, in their teens.
Yes.
It's like, where were they playing at?
Yeah.
Like, oh, they were playing in houses
yeah.
and things like that. And, well, that is very easily cracked down on now. Like... A lot of people don't want the noise, the stress. You end up living in a house
and, also,
and then
yeah.
the condo goes up next door, like, you know.
But also having
like
a
that.
House show is like, it's hard.
Yeah. It's
because you're opening up your personal
house.
Zone to people
yeah.
to come
so
into.
So you have to be down.
And Catherine and I have both done that. I mean,
yeah.
like my house, the
exactly.
Pussy Palace.
Yeah.
And I'm like at an age now where I'm just like, I just
want
don't want that.
In my house.
I just don't want that.
I totally understand. As a person who lived there for multiple years, I would never live inside of a house that had shows. I would love to attend. I
that's the difference
it.
In our age.
I was gonna say, I get anxious having like 10 people
exactly
over for like wine and a movie. Someone's gonna break something.
Cheese.
Someone's gonna break
spill
something.
Spill something.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Someone's gonna clog your toilet.
Yeah. Or break it entirely.
Yeah. But yeah. So it is. It's all about the kids, and that's been our biggest thing, and that's why Donnie and April and Mary and they all
because they were
came
yeah
in.
They were all about all ages all
right.
the time.
And
well.
And we all shared the same vision. It's like, you got to give the kids a place to go. And
yeah.
But it's not even just kids. Like, we had a show the other night, and like you were saying earlier, you know, would I feel comfortable at Dark Matter?
Yeah.
We wanted Dark Matter to be a place where you could go into and feel like it was both... had a level of professionalism, but wasn't, like, closed off or,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, it's not like... Again, like this venue, it's not like you're going to like the Cannery and there's like
yeah.
a whole bunch of like, because that's like a very large venue and there's like a lot of, you know, glitz. It's like we want to look nice, but we don't necessarily need to make anybody uncomfortable that
yeah.
it's like a sterile environment.
So
you know?
We definitely put a few things in there to make that the thing. Like,
mm-hmm.
because I feel like I'm older now, I do hair during the day, I go to a show, I would like an option to sit.
Yeah.
So sue
down.
Me,
yeah.
okay? So we have like a little chill zone area, which is
yeah.
my favorite part of the venue, which is like our old stage from Dark Matter.
Yeah, it's our old stage.
From Dark Matter 2.0. And we put like a nice little couch, and there's like a little light and a coffee table, some books, and you can sit and watch the bands
mm-hmm.
from there. We have some tables that you can sit at and some stools around and still plenty of room to stand.
Yeah.
We want to cultivate a space that you want to go to.
Yeah.
We want to cultivate a space that you feel like is homey, that you can
yeah.
strike up a conversation with somebody that you don't know, that you can maybe people will start saying like, hey, what's up, meet people, whatever, and then start bands that way. Like, we want to cultivate community is the foundation
yeah. Yeah.
of what we're doing. And so at our other show the other night, it was like an electronic show, the vibe was so good
yeah.
and like this family walked in, it was like a mom and a dad, like
three kids
little kids, and they all rolled up and they sat down in some chairs and they
yeah.
cracked some LaCroix
yeah.
it was awesome.
Amazing.
And it was exactly what we
yeah
our hearts.
You were like, you know, we've been open a week. We did it.
You know, it's always that sort of thing. It's like if you would have let your, you know, if you are okay with your children hearing certain lyrics, like if you're a parent who's like, you should experience music or whatever, you know.
Right, it's not Raffy.
So
internet, like, boyfriend is not Raffy.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're already okay with that, which a lot of people are, you just want to make sure that at least the environment is also kind of on the up and up for your kids to be around too. And, you know, because we're not like party zone. Like, we want people to definitely get into it. Please feel free to dance and do what you will and things like that. But no one should ever have like a fear that anyone's like we're watching out for the kids.
Ooh,
like,
which brings me to my next thing, besides the ticket price, which is the other thing, which is like timing.
So
start times.
When I had Lance Konzett on to talk about the pop music scene, he got into this topic as well, I think largely in reference to the DIY scene and what a lot of what you're doing, saying that, like, if your show starts at 9:30, like first band starts at 9:30, your mom's not gonna drop you off.
No.
Yeah.
Like, well, we are wanting to abide by the curfew as well.
Right.
The actual legal curfew.
Yeah.
Yeah. What time is the legal curfew for those that don't know, including myself?
It is during the week, like not a weekend night, it is 11. And then on weekend nights it is midnight. For people under 18.
Yeah. Well, as a 40-year-old, those are great times.
Great times.
So it's also, we've been enforcing that. You know, people have been showing up. So it's not so much when the start of the show, I guess, will be, because that's like more or less always the same. We're pretty much working on the doors at 7 model. So the show can start anywhere more or less from like 8 to 8:30, but it will always be over before or by 11 or midnight.
Mm-hmm. And when we start to have food, we'll have more of a set schedule, and that way we'll be open from 6 to 11 or 6 to midnight for food service.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then for shows and stuff, we'll start like at 7, there's doors at 7. And definitely depending, that's what's kind of hard, is like a 3-band bill of, you know, of bands that have like 35-minute sets versus like a 4 or 5-band bill of hardcore bands, which are all have like 20-minute sets, you know? It's like, we're still trying to figure that out, but at the same time, it's like, my hill to die on is, you start the show by like 8:30, let's say, at least, which we have been doing, and you end by 11. Like, we are not a party zone. Like, we're not a party hangout. You're not going there to get wasted and, like, tear up until 1 in the morning or 2 in the morning. We want you to come and experience the music.
Yeah.
Oh. Interesting.
Strangely enough, like a venue.
And then afterward, go and do you, like...
Feel free. Go do
you don't have to go
like.
Home, but you can't stay here.
Yeah, exactly. Because I would also like to go.
Yeah, and then,
And bands would like to go. And
they would love to go.
Bands would love to go.
2 o'clock in the morning either.
Bands are the most hype about it. They're like, wait, sick. We can like go to Taco Bell and go back to where we're staying and crash. Yeah. Yes.
So just to reiterate, 7 doors. If you get there late, you're going to miss stuff.
Yeah.
So it's at that point where it's like, well, you'll figure it out. If you keep missing things you want to see, you're going to figure
this.
It out.
I love this. I mean, getting off work and going straight to the venue and seeing music and then just going home and being asleep possibly before midnight. I mean, that's a fine evening. Mm-hmm. I've seen bands start at 1 a.m.
Uh-uh.
It's, you know.
It's like if it's an after thing, fine, but that should not be the main event.
Or a festival or something like that.
No, I'm talking
like,
trapped somewhere in the field.
Like a regular old show. Well, they pushed till 9:45 because enough people weren't there
exactly.
yet.
And that's like why I get so frustrated about this, because, like, not to interrupt you, but I'm just like so passionate about this subject, because, okay, so say you have like 3 or 4 bands and it doesn't start till 9:30, somebody's gonna get screwed over. It's like, just because the first band waited for 5 more people to show up doesn't mean that it's gonna be a good or a bad experience for them.
Yeah.
I think it's just gonna make people think, oh, well, Dark Matter, that doesn't start till late, so I'm not going to go until later. So it's just like this horrible cycle. And then at the end, people leave and the last band's playing to nobody. And it's just this horrible cycle. And then people like us who are professionals during the weekday, like I, you know, work late and I work early. And so it's just this weird thing where I'm like, I don't want to go to a show if I know it's going to be like midnight, blah, 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 whatever. Like, we want people to be able to come, all sorts of people.
I don't like leaving the house at 9 to go see something.
No. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And maybe that's my age.
I fall asleep during a movie at that time if I go.
It's just like, I feel like the hours that we've like chosen to like start and stop, it's like those are the hours that generally, I mean, unless of course, obviously, I love you all, my food service people, take off some days at work if you want to come see a show.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like at that point, you'd never see shows anyway. So that's your choice. But
Just come on your day off.
So that's like the hours that most people want to go out and do something before either going back home or going to like chill with like a smaller group of people. Mm-hmm. Like no one really legitimately all the time wants to be out until 2 o'clock in the morning with like
not the people working,
people.
Not the people playing, it's not like, the people seeing it. So why are we doing it?
Yeah, why are we doing it?
And so we're changing it.
Yeah.
And that's the hill that I will die on. And I just feel like it's better. And it's, again, the foundation is community. You want everyone to, you want it to be accessible to everybody. All ages means all ages. It doesn't just mean kids. It doesn't
just
mean
a lot of people
adults.
Hear all ages and they just immediately think that it's like a bunch of like infants and strollers. And it's like, that's nowhere. It's just like, I personally feel that most of the people are at least 18 who do tend to come out. But that's only, you know, because they have cars, you know, like that's like 16-year-olds.
Yeah.
So yeah, if the kids sometimes, you know, usually have like a ride or like their parents cool with like dropping them off and like getting them an Uber or whatever. But you know, it's not like a bunch of like, you know, 10-year-olds or something like that. It's like they are obviously very welcome.
It's diverse.
We would need to know that they were like dropped off there by someone or their parent is there. If a 10-year-old randomly was there by themselves, I would feel a little bit, I would ask them some questions, but they are welcome to be there. But so is, you know, your grandma, like Chappie's grandma came the other night.
It was so good. Chappie's mom and sister and grandma were all there.
Were all
it was
there.
Perfect.
Right. Yeah, three generations of
all ages.
All ages.
So.
Sorry, I've just been.
No, it's great. I think
off
this
the
is
rails.
Amazing. No, you're not off the rails at all. The rails have been right on track the whole time.
We're just really passionate.
I want to like kind of wrap here and let people know about what's happening there now, what's coming up. I know you don't have a date for the grand opening quite yet as these things, these little pieces come into play, but the calendar is full. I mean, there's
it's
a lot of
off.
Opportunity to go and see stuff, just like jotting down the bands that like I'm familiar with. Sad Baxter, The Chewers, Ornament, Z, Date Night, all these things are coming up like very
they
soon.
Are, yeah.
And that's 1% of shows coming up.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of stuff coming up. Where should we send people? You want them to find you on Facebook? Find you on Instagram?
Yeah. I mean, we have all of them. So you can find us at Dark Matter Collective on Facebook. We're Dark Matter Collective on Instagram. And we have a shiny new website made by Justice Dobson.
Yeah, yeah.
DarkMatterCollective.com. We have an updated calendar there. There's the links to the Facebook pages on there and our online ticket link as well.
And if you are a band that wants to talk to you about playing a show something like that,
We have a little submit form on the website, so you can send us a message that way, or you can just email us at darkmattercollective@gmail.
I cannot thank you enough for coming in here and telling the story and for sort of like laying what I hope is a groundwork for other places to like take note of.
Yeah.
Help build a thriving community, because I think if other people pick up on what you're doing and come along, it'll help as well.
Oh yeah. My god, I totally hope so. I really do. We want Nashville to roll with these.
You know, everybody
ideals.
Can have a piece of the pie. And it's only if you ask for a piece, I guess, do you get one.
I don't know. Only if you get lucky, question mark?
I guess if you get lucky, yeah. There's also that problem. But for anyone who wants to be involved, they obviously are welcome to be.
Come by, hit us up.
Yeah,
we want to talk to you. We want to make
friends.
We love
chatting.
Yeah. My 40-year-old self will make it by.
Please.
Now that I know it's all ages.
And we're also going to be doing other fun stuff like dance party nights and
karaoke.
Catherine and I want to host a karaoke monthly and trivia and stuff like that. We also want to do like other sorts of things like meetings or workshops and kind of cultivate other things that aren't just music. So look forward to a lot of that.
I do look forward to that. That's incredible. Thank you.
If you
so
could
much.
Do a live podcast from Dark Matter.
Well, to be totally honest, I'll take you up on that.
I think you should.
I got a show here called Hot Minute.
Can we get Hot Minute? I'm a huge fan.
Really oh wants to do a live podcast. So I think you just booked
Can
a live.
Can you see my face?
Come in it. Yeah.
is this the podcast where my face is like, oh, it's that cat emoji with the big eyes.
Yeah. We've been looking for a venue that felt appropriate and have come up very short.
Here we are.
Yeah. Wow.
All right,
really, this whole interview was to get to that.
A plug. Hot minute.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Of course.
Absolutely. Wonderful. And everyone go to Dark Matter.
Woo-hoo.
Please.
Yay.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. That does it for this edition of We Own This Town Music. Again, many, 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 many thanks to Catherine and Olivia for coming by to talk to me and share their story. I'm excited to make my way over to Dark Matter and see everything that they've done. Given the current show schedule, during a soft open, no less, I can't imagine that all of us won't be spending a ton of time there. It's phenomenal lineups. As always, any questions, comments, submissions, suggestions, or general feedback can be directed to @WeOwnThisTown on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, or over at WeOwnThisTown.net. We'd love to hear from you, always. Thank you so much. Bye.